Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, a podcast where authors and friends share all aspects of the Catholic faith. Learn more on reconciledtoyou.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, a podcast about living your life in the everyday ordinary, especially how we can discover those ways through good Catholic books. Today, I am joined by Deacon Dennis Lambert, who we're going to talk about his new book, For Real, Christ's Presence in the Eucharist, out now from Liguori Press. Perfect timing for the Eucharistic National Revival. But let's first start, Deacon Dennis, with finding out a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your who you are, and I'd love deacon stories as a wife of a deacon. Yes. So I'd love to hear that as well.
Yes. Well, as you mentioned, I'm a deacon from the Diocese of Phoenix, just a great diocese to be in. I've been ordained now for 8 years and loving every minute of it. I'm sure you experienced that same joy and everything else. Because again, if people don't know this, wives are very much involved in the whole process of discernment, you know, through ordination, and of course, you know, in practicing ministry. So it's a total joy for my wife and I to be able to serve the Lord in this capacity.
Well, thank you for your yes to serve the church. I don't know if people realize that that's what you're ordained for, to serve the church. Mm-hmm. And it is definitely a family call. And as you said, we really, as our family, he's only been ordained now for 3 years, but we are loving every minute. So let's talk about your new book, this wonderful new book, like I said, perfectly timed, and you know, that Pew study that was done, and maybe this has something to do with your decision so many years ago, that even practicing Catholics sitting in the pews do not believe that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity, the real presence of Jesus Christ. And I have to be honest, Deacon, I was one of them for many years. I thought it was a symbol, and I had no idea that I was actually receiving and consuming our Lord. So tell us about For Real. And what brought you to write this book?
Well, you just actually spilled all my beans. I don't know if there's anything more I need to talk about. Because actually, you nailed it. The reason I wrote the book is for two reasons. The first one is because there is a need. You mentioned the Pew data. And most people have heard, but so many people have heard the general bit of information about that anyone who calls themselves Catholics, about two-thirds of those people don't believe in the real presence. To me, the real shocker was when they looked at people who attend Mass regularly, you know, every Sunday, that one-third of those people do not believe in the real presence of the Eucharist. That was reason number one. The second reason, actually more important to me, is that it was personal. I, like you, was a non-believer in the real presence of Christ. So the book was written out of, more than anything else right now, a need for it. And secondly, because again, it is a personal thing for me. I was a cradle Catholic. I am a cradle Catholic. But when I hit my young adult years, I had some questions, some issues with the church. So I took a little detour. You know, I made a critical mistake, and I'll get to that. So I went with all my questions, all my issues, my little treatises or whatever about the church. I went to the right. I went to a non-denominational church, and believe it or not, Allison, they had all the answers, and they were right there, just like that. You know,
oh yeah,
here it's right here in this verse,
that road.
Yes, and you know, and it was a blessing. If we have time, I'll get into that. The experience was a blessing, but after a while, I was like the parable of the seed and the sower. You know, that seed that went on rocky ground, I sprung up immediately, but then after a while, kind of like, you know, things. So I finally did what I should have done to begin with. This was what I referred to my mistake, is I finally took all my questions, issues, et cetera, and went to talk to a priest, you know. And lo and behold, the well of the Catholic faith is extremely deep. All my questions were answered. So physically, appearance-wise, I returned to the church, but I was dinged, you know, from my experience 2 years in the evangelical world. I carried with me a lot of baggage that was hard to shake, including the Eucharist was a symbol. Mm. So I was exactly one of those people from the Pew Research who was there every Sunday, involved in my church, but believing that, again, we were just talking about a symbol and not the real presence. And then it took me, you know, after a while, I came to the terms. I heard the term cafeteria Catholic. That was a turning point for me. All of a sudden, I saw what it implied. You know, you pick and choose, like going through a cafeteria, what are the Catholic faith you want to put on your plate, et cetera. And I realized I didn't want to be that. I wanted to be full, all in or not. So it set me on a search, an intellectual search, to come to the truth of the real presence. So the book is the fruit of that.
Our stories are so, so very similar. Mm-hmm. Same thing, cradle Catholic, went away, came back through the Catholic Church, actually. But I met these women at the church and we started a Bible study. And over time, they left and became evangelicals. And so I missed them. And I was reading the scriptures with them and getting those answers that I so longed to have and starting to build a relationship with Jesus, which I had never had ever before. Didn't even know that was a thing you could do, quite honestly, because he was God. I am not. Like, how can I have relationship with him? And I went to one of their services, and I have to say it was beautiful. Like the music, I love contemporary Christian music. So I have my hands in the air, like I just don't care. And I'm just singing and just loving every moment of it. The sermon was incredible. It was very powerful, brought the scriptures to life. I loved everything about it. But in the end, even the fellowship, like you finished services and everybody just kind of comes up and you're a new person. They're so friendly. They want to, you know, welcome you. I loved all of that. Right. But at the end, I just felt something was missing. And I didn't know if it was just my Catholic calisthenics. Like, you know, I like to stand, sit, kneel. It's the only exercise I get all week sometimes, Deacon. But I knew it was the Eucharist. And I hadn't until that moment known it was the Eucharist. And it did take me a while. Actually, they all went for breakfast and I fasted during breakfast. And like, what are you doing? Why aren't you eating? I said, I'm going to Mass. But it took years for me to get from that moment of realizing something was missing to understanding who it was that was truly missing.
Me too.
So tell a little bit of your story. And do you share that? And again, we're talking today with Deacon Dennis Lambert about his book, For Real, Christ's Presence in the Eucharist, out from La Glory Press. So do you kind of bring us through that so that we ourselves can discover?
Oh, absolutely. The beginning of the book is my story of you know, just my journey of faith, which I kind of gave you the condensed version of there. I think that's very important when I go out and speak on the topic. That's always where I start. People really need to hear that because a lot of people can identify, you know, with that. You know, a part of the story, too, that I can touch a little bit based on, not only that coming to terms with cafeteria Catholic, but, you know, the other thing that I reflected on is my children. You know, what am I teaching my children? And I, in the book, I talk about my real experience of, even though I was back in the church, my kids were going to Catholic grade school, the same one that I attended. As they're preparing to receive their first Holy Communion, they want the parents involved, so they give us an assignment, create that communion banner that'll be outside on the end of your pew and everything else. Design it, create it, and then talk to your children about it. Well, I'm not the artsy craftsy guy. My wife actually was the one who actually did that part, but I was the one to say, this is what it should say. And then I was the one to sit down with my children and actually talk about the, you know, what it means. And I went with, I remember. That was on the banner. Nothing in and of it by itself was wrong with that, but it was intentional. And when I sat down with my children, I was talking about when you receive communion, you remember all the great things God did for you, that he suffered for us and all this stuff, which is all great. But in hindsight, I look back and say, my gosh, I held back from my children the sweetest of all truths, you know, about receiving our Lord, to talk about the grace that outpours from that, what grace is. I missed that. And actually, I came to the point where I came across one of those banners, you know, and this was after I'm fully back, fully on board on a mission. And I just broke down, you know, and cried, you know, said, what, you know, so that's a little bit more part of the story. But to your question, yes, the story is integral and the book leads off with that.
I remember a kind of my moment was, my daughter is deaf and I interpret for her. And so we enrolled her in religious education at our parish, second grade, first communion. And I said, well, as the interpreter, I can't be the teacher. So I'm just going to interpret and play that role. And the teacher said, this is a symbol.
Oh my God.
And I felt in my heart instantly, and I broke interpreter role and, you know, really went into this conversation with the group. And afterwards, I went up to her and I said, why are you calling it a symbol? Do you not know it's the body, blood? And she's like, well, I don't want to freak kids out by telling them that we're eating flesh and blood. And it was in that moment I realized we need to figure out language that we can speak truth and not be afraid. And so that was really my turning point, because in that moment, it was like the Holy Spirit just shook me. Like, do you believe I'm a symbol, or do you believe that I'm real? And I just, it was amazing. And I wonder how many of us growing up now in our second grade, as you're sharing like that communion moment, that first communion, this important part in our catechism, we're so afraid of freaking children out by the truth, because we don't have the language, we don't know how to explain it or share it, that we misguide them. And then assuming somebody down the line will give them the fullness of truth, and they don't receive that. Mm. So does your book For Real, Christ's Presence in the Eucharist, again out now from Liguori Press Publications, Liguori Publications, does this help us get the language to share this truth with others?
Oh, absolutely. First and foremost, it is an apologetic on the Eucharist, and it's done in very, I'd say, layman, simple terms. I'm a simple guy. So it's not one of these books that's going to fly over everyone's head. But when you actually look at the truth that's there, it's just overpowering that this truly is Jesus. It's not some obscure line in Scripture. It's a continuum from Jesus from the apostles to the early church fathers to today. The consistency of what Jesus taught on the Eucharist is carried forward. In fact, I use analogy of a relay race to really simplify things. Relay race is four parts, you know, legs, if you will, but there's only one race. Leg one is Jesus. So the book looks at what did Jesus teach on the Eucharist. And we really go heavy into John chapter 6. Jesus hands the baton off to the apostles. You know, what did they teach or say about the Eucharist in Scripture? You know, is it consistent with what Jesus said? Is it congruent? Well, it is. Spoiler alert. They hand the baton on to the early church fathers. And I love the early church fathers because there are so much of their writing. And when you read them, and we're talking right at the handoff, really going to St. Ignatius of Antioch, who was a disciple of John, what did he write about the Eucharist? And there's just no mistaking, this is the real presence of Christ. And then that baton is handed on to the church today. And I like to quote the immortal four prophets, the talking heads, same as it ever was. Literally, that's the thing. And it's not just one little thing here, one little thing here, but a plethora of writings and stuff stemming right from the words of Jesus that show, my Lord and my God, this is true, the real presence. There's just no doubt. And I feel sorry for our Protestant brothers and sisters who literally take everything literally in the Bible, but somehow they just gloss over or never want to speak about John 6, 1 Corinthians, et cetera, so.
Yeah, because John 6 is such an interesting moment, really, that every time before people were confused, Jesus would explain himself, but he doesn't. And as I've heard so many theologians talk about, he actually ramps up the language.
That's exactly the language I urge. It escalates. I say, excellent. And to the point where actually, you know, he doesn't back down. To me, the big aha moment is the disciples are there that have been following him. The day before, they're at the multiplication of loaves and they want to make him king. Now say, this teaching is hard. And then it says, John 6:66. Because of this, many of the disciples left him. And they estimate that's thousands. Jesus doesn't stop and say, wait, no. Mm-hmm. I was speaking symbolic. He meant this is what I meant. No, he lets him walk because he meant what he said.
Yeah, he escalates to, you must gnaw on me. Like the word that he uses, like that is just, and again, never taught this through all of my catechism. I'm sure it was mentioned at Mass. I often confess that for many years, my Mass attendance was grabbing the bulletin, coming in, chatting with all my friends before Mass, reading the bulletin during the readings of the the readings of the mass, and then using the bulletin as a note paper to write my to-do list and my grocery list as the priest or deacon was giving a homily. And then I'd leave church going, wow, I never got anything out of that. Gee, I wonder why I never got anything out. And I never learned that my faith is because of poor catechesis. It's not to, I was a child in the 80s. So we're all about love and happiness, 70s, 80s. So I'm so excited, just to kind of wrap this up, I'm so excited to see that the church is gaining the courage, the wisdom, letting the Spirit finally guide us to use the words and the language and to make a point, especially in the next 3 years in this National Eucharistic Revival, to teach, remind, and exhort people to know that God is present, truly present in Jesus, in the Eucharist, and that we get to have this encounter. This is the one thing I found so interesting was that my friends left to have a true encounter and get closer to Christ. But what we failed to understand is that you cannot be closer to Christ than when he is living within you in the Eucharist and you are a living tabernacle of the Blessed Sacrament. Like this idea is difficult. It is a tough teaching. That's why Jesus turned to Peter and the apostles and said, this is hard. Are you going to leave too? And I try to live out Peter's words, as I'm sure you do too. Like, where will I go, Lord? Only you have the words of eternal life. So was there anything that you were surprised about or that you yourself learned as you were researching for real?
Well, there's so much, you know, a lot of this, like I say, I had come to in my own studies and things like this. So I was kind of, it's not that anything new came from me. I'm not a PhD or anything else. I'm more of a really good collator of information. One thing, though, that I picked up from Father Mitch Pacwa, I had the blessing to be on his show that I didn't know. And I'm like, why don't I put that in the book? Because I go into a little bit about, you know, Protestants will sometimes stall at, you know, do this in remembrance of me. Aha, it's just a remembrance, you know, you're supposed to remember, like I put on the banner. But no, first of all, Dr. Brant Petrie points out that to remember for first century Jew meant to make whatever you're remembering present, you know, bingo. But then Father Mitch said there's also something called a remembrance offering that the Jews would also make an offering, a sacrifice that was bloodless. So there's a connection there. Do this in remembrance to me, to the Jewish remembrance offering, you know. And I actually, like I say, I'm gonna sharpen up on that for when I do speak on the topic. I'm like, darn it, why wasn't I didn't know that? That I wanted that in my book, but yeah.
Well, I always say I actually am an author myself, and there's things that I wish I had put in there. For instance, my book is on sacramentals, and I learned afterwards that a blessed bell of a church, when it rings, those who hear it receive the blessing from it.
Ah,
isn't awesome. That amazing?
Yeah.
Well, you know, writing the book about my daughter who's deaf and it's her adoption, so I never thought to look at the sacramentals, a bell or the sound. I just looked at the other things and like, wow. But the point being that now when I speak about the topic or I go out, I have something new to share that you wouldn't find in the book. So now you, Deacon Dennis, have something really beautiful and powerful to share that we won't find in your incredible book, For Real, Christ's Presence in the Eucharist. This is out now from Liguori Publications. Deacon Dennis, how can we get a copy of this incredible book that I think all people will find helpful, especially those struggling to understand the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist?
Well, it's at many Catholic bookstores. I can't say that they're at all. The fallback for all such books or any book almost is Amazon. Amazon does have it. So you can always go there if you can't find it at your local Catholic bookstore.
And how can we perhaps connect with you if a church is someone in a parish or church is listening and they'd love to have you lent just around the corner?
Yeah.
We're always looking for ways to educate and catechize. Is there a way they can reach you to perhaps have you come in and speak?
Yeah. In fact, in the back of the book, there is my contact information. But if anyone's interested, you can reach me at deacondennislambert@gmail.com. Deacon spelled out and dennislambert@gmail.com.
And I'll have all those links in our show notes. Deacon Dennis, it was such a pleasure to meet you in person at the Catholic Marketing Network and to have this opportunity to speak with you today. Thank you so much for spending this time with us.
Thank you very much, Allison.
My pleasure. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras. God bless.
Thank you for listening to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras. Your reviews at your favorite podcast service help this podcast reach others who may be blessed by the content. Please subscribe and share with others. Come back soon for an all-new episode.